right, Parker. I don't even know why we're here. Like, let's just replay what we said yesterday. Nothing's changed. Yeah.
Travis Bergen went on the IL.
Travis Bergen went in the IL. Yeah, that's some of the moves. Tommy Malone's been transferred to the 60-day IL. He's been placed in the 10-day IL with a left fourth-digit blister.
Huh?
He has a left fourth-digit blister, so that's his fourth finger in it. That's fourth finger in his left hand.
Okay, but just say that the first time.
Yeah,
you're number one too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Is it no? Like, is it the fourth? Does it depend where you start? Because if you started from the pinky, the fourth finger would be the forefinger. If you started from the other side, anyhow, he's got a blister on his finger.
There you go.
So he's been placed on the Major League IL. It doesn't matter, though, because it's all about Alek Manoah. Alek Manoah is so great, he scared the gods into having it rain yesterday. That is how great he is.
He brought the rain.
That is how great he is. He is the bringer of rain. This is the lineup that Alek Manoah will face. We should mention, by the way, that he won't face Aaron Hicks. Aaron Hicks is done for the rest of the year with a wrist injury, a torn tendon sheath. And I was trying to remember whether that was something that Vernon Wells or Eric Hinsky had. And it was a horrible injury. And it's just, I don't know what the hell a tendon sheath is. I know what a tendon is. I don't know what a tendon sheath is, but it never sounds good when you're tearing something that does not appear to be unterrible is the word I'm looking for. No Aaron Hicks. So he's done for the rest of the year, which is a shame for the Yankees. This is a lineup the Yankees are. It is. I like Aaron Hicks. This is a lineup the Yankees. It is. That wasn't me being a smartass. I like Aaron Hicks. He's a good player, and he's a good dude.
All right, then.
All right.
Who never stays healthy?
This is the Yankees lineup. Leading off will be DJ LeMahieu. Our friend Rougned Odor will be hitting second and playing second. Aaron Judge will be DHing. Gleyber Torres is at short. Mike Ford's at first. Luke Frazier in right. What? Miguel Andujar's in left. Kyle Higashioka. Oh, he's hitting ninth. He's catching. And Brett Gardner. All reliable. Brett Gardner is in center field and hitting eighth. So, you look at this lineup, Mr.
It's not very good.
Well, I was going to say, if you're Alek Manoah and you are going through this lineup right now, what are you thinking?
Rougned Odor don't like the fastball, so I'm gonna get ahead with one. I'm gonna put him away with one. I'm gonna nibble at Aaron Judge. I'm gonna attack him middle away with a fastball. I may elevate a heater occasionally to him, but if I walk him, so what? Gleyber Torres, I'm going to spin it first, put him away with a fastball. Mike Ford doesn't scare me at all. He's hitting a .150. Clint Frazier, look, when you're hitting a .183 and you're playing most of the time, that means you can't hit a fastball. I'd throw him a bunch of heaters. Miguel Andujar doesn't scare you at all. He's hitting .213 with no back leg cities. Ain't really afraid of him. Brett Gardner's really old. I could probably hit .202 and hit the fastball. So, you think about the Yankees actually running out a lineup that looks like this, and you wonder why the Blue Jays want to start Alek Manoah and not afraid to do it in Yankee Stadium. And then you start looking at the numbers with the lineup that the Yankees have. It ain't scary. He could do it. Alek Manoah, from what I've watched, now obviously I haven't seen him live because of COVID, but what I've watched on video, what I've watched from him in West Virginia, what I've watched from him in spring training, I watched him a little bit the last time he made a start, wherever he made the start at. It was mainly fastballs. It was mainly, here it is, see if you can hit it. He ain't nibbling with it. Most of these guys, I don't think you got to nibble with it. Aaron Judge is the one guy, DJ LeMahieu right at the inside outs ball to right. You get Rougned Odor out, then you have to worry about a two-run homer from Aaron Judge. But other than that, if you make a halfway decent quality pitch with a heater and expand a little bit with a secondary pitch, that's that little run on the changeup and the little slider that it's a work of progress. But if you're the Blue Jays, you've sort of set this up kind of right now.
I mentioned on social media, 590-590 is the text line. Send in what you expect from Alek Manoah today. Make a prediction. I'm not talking about score. I'm talking about innings, strikeouts. What would make you happy? What do you think you're going to get? Keep in mind, it's a seven-inning game. I want to talk about this, Barker. There's a doubleheader, so it's a seven-inning game. If you're the Blue Jays, you've got Alek Manoah starting in a seven-inning game. You got Robbie Ray following him up in a seven-inning game. Has this rainout worked to the Blue Jays' benefit? That extra day, given what we've talked about with the bullpen,
yeah,
has this worked to their benefit in terms of pitching?
I think it's helped the Romano, Jordan Romano, and the Tyler Chatwoods of the world. Rafael Dolis, right? He's been around long enough. He's had enough time off with the IL stint. He wants to get as much pitching in as he possibly can. Alek Manoah, look. Is it going to help command? Is it going to help the heart rate? Is it going to help all the things? If he gets a guy on base, can he forget about all the noise in Yankee Stadium and worry about the runner at first and worry about making a halfway decent quality pitch to the next hitter? Is that matter about a rainout? I don't think so. Does it matter if it's a seven-inning game? I don't really think so. That just doesn't change the mindset. That doesn't change, you know, that the Yankees lineup hasn't really seen him. That's going to be a benefit, right? They haven't seen the life on the heater. They haven't seen how much the slider breaks. They haven't seen the arm speed on the changeup. So that little bit of element of surprise might get him through four or five batters, which could extend his outing that much more. So, you know, the Robbie Ray thing, look, I don't think he cares. He wants to muscle his way through everything, right? What's he had? His last six starts, he struck out 49 batters and only walked one guy. Having an extra day is only going to make him stronger. So that's only going to help the Blue Jays.
This is why I like our listeners. I like our listeners for a variety of reasons. But I asked, what would make you happy? What are you expecting from Alek Manoah? TJ from Barrie says, what about if both guys go seven-inning complete games today? That would be nice. That would be
tremendous.
Eddie in Fort Erie, he wants to see anywhere between five or six innings for Manoah is good enough for me. Four innings, four walks, five hits, two earned for Manoah tonight. Curtis Hutter from Bowmanville says that. Noah in Newmarket, I would consider over 4.5 strikeouts and at least four innings pitched to success from Noah in Newmarket. I think we're all kind of on board with that, right?
Yeah.
I want to see him give me more than four innings. Like, I would take five complete, but I want to see more than four innings. I want to see good control. I don't care about the strikeouts. I don't care about the hits. I just don't want to see a lot of walks.
Yeah.
I'm good with that otherwise.
I want to not see him overthrowing early in the game, which you'll probably see. You know, he's a big guy, 6'6", 260. He wants to muscle his way through it. It's Yankee Stadium. It's the Yankees lineup. It's his first start. He's young. Look, he's never been in the big leagues before. I've been there. I know you overswing. I was overswinging. You know, I was trying to backleg everything. The pitching's no different, so he's going to try and do a lot of that. The walk thing, I know the one text you read there that the guy said he might walk four guys. Let's hope not. You know, the four walks is a lot of trouble. And if you walk in this lineup, this lineup, by just looking at the averages, besides a couple of guys, means you can attack them and attack them a lot with fastballs. If you go in, out, up with it, you don't even have to go down with it. Elevate it, go in with it, and sprinkle in the other two little things you got. You're going to be halfway decent. And again, I just mentioned the three big guys, right? Having Robbie Ray in the second game is going to help them because now they know they can use a bunch of their main guys in that first game. If they have the lead in the fourth inning, he's laboring through it a little bit. Guess who's coming? Tyler Chatwood, Jordan Romano, Rafael Dolis. You get the first one, and now you got your boy that's hot with the 49 strikeouts and the no walks, and he can come in and do his things for six innings.
This is Troy and Grimsby. I expect Manoah to go five innings, 10 strikeouts, one run scored. The only walk he gives up is the one when he walks across the Hudson River.
See, nice.
There aren't many expectations. Many expectations today.
That's all right.
Darren in Newcastle, seven innings pitched, Manoah hitter. That I like. Now, that is genius. A Manoah hitter.
That's perfect.
That is genius. That's headline-worthy material if it ever happens. If it ever happens. The Blue Jays lineup. Marcus Semien leading off at second. Bo Bichette at short. Vladdy's DHing and hitting third. Teoscar's in right. Randall Grichuk's in center. Rowdy's at first. Lourdes is in left. Joe Panik is at third. Reese McGuire is behind the plate for Alek Manoah's first start. Does that surprise you?
Who? Reese McGuire? No, I'm assuming it's that little thing. That's probably what happened in spring training. Alec Manoah is probably not the hardest guy to catch. He's basically, again, got the one pitch. It's got a little sink to it. It's got a little elevation to it. He's got some power to it. Keep him in his lane. You know, he talks a lot about his head not moving. I'm sure Reese McGuire knows a lot about his head moving when it comes to the mechanics part of it and you know, leaking open a little bit and trying to overthrow, and they're going to look for that early in the game and give him a little bit of confidence. Look, put it down early. Don't worry about giving away low to a veteran team. Who cares? Give him the target early. Show it to him. Say, here it is. Give me your best one, and then we'll go from there. And if they do that kind of thing, right? Here, the one guy I'm looking at in this lineup, Rowdy Tellez, where you been? Okay, you're facing Domingo Germán, who loves throwing his curveball and his sinker and his changeup and his four-seamer to righties, but he's basically a four-seam changeup guy to a lefty, Rowdy Tellez. Look, if you want a ticket to the game, don't be afraid to show up and get out in front a little bit of that four-seamer early in a count and hit a two-run homer and help your team out a little bit. These late swings that he's taken, and you know, it's almost, I don't want to say he's hunting hits because I don't know if you can really do that, but it's more of that indecisive part of it of where my mechanics are and I'm thinking about all of these other things, and you're a straight up and down guy. Look where you think you can have maximum collision with the baseball, and when you get it, drive down and through it and use the field to your advantage. Do that and help your team out today. So that's one guy for me in the lineup I'm looking for.
Yeah, he needs to get it going, because we do keep talking about this. At some point we're led to believe George Springer will in fact play a game for the Blue Jays.
Who?
Maybe two in a row. And decisions are going to have to be made. And I don't know. The only thing to me keeping Rowdy Tellez in the team is that he's left-handed. He's a left-handed hitter. Other than that, there's no reason. And I'm not a Rowdy basher. I like Rowdy. I mean, I hope he, you know, I'd love to see him have a long career. But, man, I don't know. I think the rubber's hit the road now.
Yeah, and also don't forget too. You know, you're the one always saying that what's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. do? He plays every single day, and to do that, they have to DH him occasionally. And for me, I got to be honest with you, with the left side of that infield and what Bo's trying to do, and with his throws and how soon he wants to throw it, and it's a big timing thing. I don't want Lourdes Gurriel Jr. playing over there. So that's a benefit for Rowdy Tellez, right? He should know that. So there has to, for me, be a little sense of urgency. Enough of these timid at-bats. Go up and hunt something and act like you've been there before. Put your best swing on it.
We'll be joined in a few minutes by Ricky Romero, Blue Jays analyst on Sportsnet. And, of course, he knows what it's like to make a Major League debut. His Major League debut was at the Rogers Center against the Detroit Tigers. So we'll talk to Ricky about that and see what he expects from Alek Manoah today. And maybe we'll ask him, does that extra day off, how does Alek Manoah handle that?
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, I'm sure he was geared up to start yesterday. And, you know, your first major league start, and it's been pushed back because of a rain delay. A rain out. Everything we know about this guy, Bark, would suggest that it probably wouldn't have mattered. Him probably
Jeff, what's,
know what it is.
What's that old saying? Think long, think wrong. That's the only thing that this extra day has done for Alek Manoah, is it's making him think about how he's going to get this lineup. You don't think yesterday when he, or the day before yesterday, when he was probably getting the lineup and looking at the stats and seeing what all of these guys can hit and what they can't hit and the locations they don't like it, and now he's got an extra day to think about all of that stuff, and just instead of going, okay, here's my strength, let's see if they can hit that first, and then we'll expand from there. And that's the one thing, right? It was when I was trying to be a big leaguer early in my career, is the more I thought about it, the worse it got, because I started doubting the things that I was working on, right, in batting practice and on the field and doing the early work and all those things. A pitcher's no different. So hopefully he can separate that. Hopefully he works all the kinks out with Pete Walker and his little bullpen, and that little walk from the time he throws his last pitch in the bullpen to the time he's walking across that nice little fresh green looking grass to the dugout, that's the time where he looks around and goes, man, I finally made it, I'm here. But when he steps on the mound and takes the first pitch, it's over, it's go to work time. And hopefully that's what you see from him.
Yeah, it was interesting. We had John Flaherty on, and he made that point exactly about the importance of that walk, right? That walk across the field after you come out of the bullpen, and how that's your moment. If you're a catcher, that's your moment with that guy, right? There's you, the pitching coach, and the catcher, and it's kind of a I've always found it to be, it's a moment of drama, right? It's a yeah. moment of drama. It's a moment when you're gone from the shelter of the bullpen. You're now out in the public eye. You're getting ready to go out and step on the mound. It really does have to be quite the moment.
Honestly, you are on an island by yourself. Some people handle that really well their first time, and some people don't. And everything we've been told, Alex very good at separating and basically saying, this is my mound. You're not going to take it from me.
Jordan Montgomery gets a start for the Yankees in the second game. He's a left-hander. He's been a good story for them this year. He's been a guy that they sort of didn't know what to make of him. I think I still think that there may be a view ultimately, Kevin, that he ends up going into some sort of a swingman role. But what do you think of him, and what should the Jays' approach be against him in Game 2 compared to what we're going to see versus Domingo Germán in Game 1?
Okay, he's coming off a pretty good start against the White Sox, where he went 7 innings, gave it 4 hits, and he punched out 11. That would tell you, against righties. Now, the Blue Jays are going to have a bunch of righties in their lineup. He's very change-up, curve, cutter, sinker heavy, right? And it's a lot of, I'm getting ahead with the change-up, I'm going to flip you the slow stuff, I'm going to try and get you out with weak contact with the cutter. Now, I did see in the last game, I saw Mike Harkey, the bullpen coach down there with the Yankees. He was basically telling the guys that coming in that all of these hitters are trying to stay inside out in the ball to right field. What that would tell you is the word's out that the Blue Jays are trying to stay up the middle the other way with a bunch of these baseballs. That would tell you that if you're left-handed, how do you get guys out when they're right-handed? You got to pound them in, and then that way you can expand with a secondary pitch. So maybe without the change up in the curve, maybe it's more cutter change curve that way. So he's going to establish something hard in with movement and make the Blue Jays hitters get the head out, basically, right? Trying to eliminate half the field and making them get the head out, because quite frankly, here in the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 games, Blue Jays really hadn't had to do that. And then we're going to find out, I think, even Domingo Germán today. I think that's basically what you're going to get from him with the sinker and maybe that four-seamer. He'll start to elevate it. He'll try to get ahead with the righties with the sinker, and he'll expand with the curveball and the changeup. But it's going to be an interesting thing, right? This is what the big leagues is all about, is you adjust to them. They're going to adjust back to you. Now we'll see what the Blue Jays do to them.
We have got a request for you to discuss that base running play in the Cubs Pirates game, which I'll get Derek to get a clip of that play if you haven't seen it yet. The bizarre thing, and it's perfect for Barker, not because you're a bizarre person, but because you played first base. It's a play when I watched it and I saw the situation. I mean, we'll talk about it later, but all the first baseman has to do is step in the bag and it's done, and
that's
over.
It.
There's no drama, but it turns into an unbelievable, I mean, it turns into a comedy of errors. We'll deal with that, I promise you. Mm-hmm. On the last segment of the show, we will deal with that base running play. We'll talk to Bark about it. We'll give him time to get his thoughts together. Oh, and by the way, what would a day be in Major League Baseball without a no-hitter? Shane Bieber's got a no-hitter going through.
Of course he does.
6 innings. Unbelievable. 9 strikeouts, 3 walks. For once, Cleveland may be throwing a no-hitter instead of having one thrown at
him. Well, the best thing about him throwing it today is the Blue Jays don't have to face him. That's
yes,
the best
sir.
Thing about
they
that.
They get Eli Morgan, Sam Henkes, and Aaron Savalli. So
there it is.
Aaron Savalli's had a really good year. But
it ain't Bieber.
No, it ain't Shane Bieber
nope.
at all. Ricky Romero remembers what it was like to make his Major League debut. Did it in Toronto against the Detroit Tigers, won the game, pitched pretty well. He'll join us next. It's Baseball Central, Blue Jays pregame edition on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
That wasn't it.
Baez hits it on the ground to third, Gonzalez.
So good.
Go on, Ricky Romero.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
Not until next
week. Stole a run. You have got to be kidding me. Javi Baez. Keep going. Go. Go. Think you're invisible. El Mago indeed.
That is unbelievable.
That is incredible.
All right. That was a play from this afternoon in the Cubs and Pirates game, Kevin Barker. And essentially, there were two outs. Javier Baez at the plate. And the play was just simply hits a grounder, and the idea is to step on first base, and, and the inning's over. That's the idea. Wilson Contreras is on second. The third baseman, Eric Gonzalez, throws to first, throws wide. But again, all Will Craig has to do, Bark, is step in the bag, and it's done. But Javier Baez, brilliantly, he's barely halfway down the line, turns around and runs back to home plate. So Craig follows him. And again, all he's got to do is step in first, and it's done.
Yeah.
It's done. But the first baseman follows him back, and as he's running back, Wilson Contreras just keeps going. He goes around third, and he's going towards home plate. Now, by this time, Craig sees him coming, so he goes, Jesus, flips the ball to the catcher, Michael Perez. Yeah. It was too late. Contreras slid in safely. Now there's nobody at first base.
Yeah.
There's nobody at first base. So Baez just goes back running towards first base. Slides in head first. The throw, Adam Frazier's covering first. The throw is wild. Baez gets up, goes to second, and he scores on a single. I mean, it was bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know why when I first saw that I thought of whenever the MLB Network was showing in spring training all the teams that were doing their work in spring training, and they showed the Pirates, and they were doing those tire work in the outfield where the outfielders would start on the tire, they'd jump off and get off and field a ground ball. I don't know why I thought of that when I saw this. Just it's one of those odd things where – obviously, Will Craig, for me, now I don't know this for a fact, looked like he didn't know how many outs there were. When you don't know how many outs you were, and the sense of urgency wasn't there, right? If you're coming off the bag and you don't want to go back to the bag, at least show some urgency when you see a guy start to backpedal. Obviously, you can run forward faster than he can go backwards. Mm-hmm. Just, put your head down and run as hard as you can and tag him out. But Will Craig basically just got into one of those lollygagging things down the first baseline and didn't go after him as hard as he should have went after him. Once he commits himself away from first base,
right,
that's when you put a little sense of urgency in it. Run as hard as you can, tag him out. You at least don't, it doesn't look so bad that you just lollygag around. Baez is one of those guys that's going to go a little, he'll stop, he'll go a little more, he'll stop, he'll go a little bit more, trying to get you to throw the ball before you actually want to throw it and get you in between instead of you just putting your head down and running as hard as you possibly can, tag him out, the inning's over, you go in. But it's one of those things, right? You got to know the situation. You got to know where you're at in the game. You got to know what the play entails when you get the baseball. Think it out before it actually happens. And for me, Will Craig didn't do that, and this is what it looks like.
Well, and credit Javier Baez. Like, I'm sure he can tell right away, this guy's got no clue what's going on here. Like, he's got no clue. Because you can tell as soon as he sees him break towards him, he's thinking, I'm sure what he's thinking, Kevin, is – just let me get Contreras over to third base safely. But he's going back, and he looks towards third base, and he sees that Contreras isn't stopping.
Yeah.
So he goes, fine, I'm just going to keep going.
That's why I think Will Craig didn't know how many outs there were, because he could have basically, whenever he saw Baez going backwards like that, he could have basically just yelled at him and go, what are you doing? And just turned around, went and walked over and tagged first and said, you're out. You look like an idiot. But obviously, that's one of those things where, again, you got to know the situation. You got to know what's going on. Don't worry about what that guy's doing. Worry about what you can control and what's happening in front of you. And do you think it'll ever happen again to Will Craig?
No.
There you go.
I don't think it'll ever happen to him again. I'm hoping for Will Craig. I'm hoping for Will Craig that it doesn't. We mentioned that the first pitch of the doubleheader today is at 4:05. Alec Manoah is on the mound for the Blue Jays. It is his much anticipated, eagerly awaited Major League debut, and quite a place to do it, Yankee Stadium, even though it will be, there'll be limited crowds there. It's still Yankee Stadium. Ricky Romero made his Major League debut
At least according to your baseball reference page, Ricky, and I always qualify these things because generally when I say this and somebody comes on and goes, well, actually, no, I had a one-inning relief effort in September the year before. But Thursday, April 9th, 2009, against the Detroit Tigers at Rogers Center, a 6-2 Blue Jays win Ricky Romero's Major League debut. Curtis Granderson hit you or touched you for a two-run homer. But that was basically it. Now, first of all, I hope baseball reference is right. And two, what do you remember about that debut?
Baseball reference is correct. That was my debut. obviously, I remember that first home run. It's probably all I like. It's funny because there's a lot of good things that happen, but you always remember like who hit the home run off of you or who had the RBI off of you. And I remember Curtis Granderson went opposite field off of me. I remember that. I remember walking out to the mound, and in the minor leagues, you're not used to seeing a third deck. So when you see that and you see the fans up there, you almost feel like they're right on top of you. And I just remember kind of before my warm-up pitches looking up, and I was like, whoa. And then just don't get caught up in that, though. Don't get caught up in that. And it's still 60 feet, 6 inches. And the more you tell yourself that, I think it just helps as the game goes on. And once you throw that first pitch, I mean, I was never nervous. I was anxious. And once you throw that first pitch, it's kind of like, okay, now I just go back to doing what I know what to do. And it was just good from there.
Ricky, the Blue Jays and Yankees obviously got rained out yesterday, and obviously Alec was supposed to throw yesterday. What do you think that does to his mindset? Do you think it changes his game plan? Do you think it makes it any harder on him, or does it really matter?
You know what? I was thinking about that. I was like, can you imagine knowing you're going to make your debut on that day and you're hyped up, you're so nervous, you're so anxious. I'm sure his family's in town, everyone's ready, and then you head to the stadium and the game's called because of rain. I don't think the mindset changes. I think it's still just as exciting. I think he's waiting for this moment. If you look at his social media activity, it's like he's waiting for it, and I'm excited to see it. I mean, I know he comes in with a lot of hype. He had a good spring and good start to his AAA season. And obviously he was a high draft pick for the Blue Jays. So they saw something in him, and he was obviously on that fast track already. I don't think anybody expected him to be on this fast of a track, but I think, the circumstances call for it. And I like the call.
Okay, how do you think it's going to be for him? You know, there's always those guys that you're going to face that you watched on TV and you're like, man, I can't wait to face him. And then the first guy that stands out for me is Aaron Judge. How do you think he's going to feel when the big, huge 6'8 Aaron Judge is walking to the plate and he's hitting .308 with 12 homers, and we all know what he can do to a baseball and where he hits a lot of them to right field. What do you think his mindset's going to be with him?
Well, the one thing about Manoah, and I saw him in Vancouver when I called a few games down there, I saw him pitch once. He doesn't lack confidence, so I think you're gonna see the bulldog in him, and he's gonna attack these guys. I think the other thing that helps is that I believe he faced the Yankees a couple times in spring training, and he faced some of these hitters. And obviously, it's spring; some guys are still getting their timing down and all that. But I think there's something behind that, maybe. You know, and that's why they were comfortable enough to say, hey, you know, we saw what he could do at spring training against this lineup. Let's do it at New York where it really counts. And I think you're going to see him attack hitters. I don't see him backing down from anyone. Like I said, he's a bulldog on that mound.
Ricky, your first game against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium was July 6th, your first year. Jays won it. You got the win. That lineup was Jeter, Swisher, Teixeira, A-Rod, Posada, Cano, Melky Cabrera, Eric Hinsky, who homered off you. And how the hell that happened, I don't know. Brett Gardner. But what was the guy for you? You know, like we just talked about, Bark mentioned Aaron Judge. Was Derek Jeter that guy when you're facing him and you go, you know, Derek Jeter, welcome to Yankee Stadium, kid. Here's Derek Jeter.
Yeah, and when you hear it, the voice that would introduce him, I think that's the biggest thing, that you're just like, whoa, like it kind of hits you a little bit. And then he gets up to the plate and he tips his hat to you, and you're just like, oh, am I supposed to tip my hat back to him? Like, I wasn't sure. So it was him, and obviously at that time at that time, Robinson Cano was was one of the best hitters in baseball, and yeah, I remember them two just for me. Yeah, I remember them two being kind of the two guys that I was like excited to face, but I also was their dangerous hitters.
Ricky, you mentioned you were in Vancouver and you saw him pitch in Vancouver. We know he throws hard. I think he's got a sinker that, mm-hmm. that moves a little bit on the plate. Obviously, he's a big guy. He's a big presence on the mound. But we don't know a ton about his secondary pitches, that changeup and that slider. Can you give us a little insight on what you think those pitches are? Are they big league pitches? How about that?
I think so. I think, again, to be able to do what he did in spring and at the start of the Triple-A season, his three starts there, he said it in his press conference, my stuff plays. And I think he knows that, and he's got that sharp slider and that good changeup. And you're going to see a lot of that. Obviously, when he throws hard, you know, it's 94, 95, 96. But when you're able to throw your secondary stuff for a strike, it makes it even tougher on a hitter.
Yep.
But at this level, at the big league level, they're also, all it takes is one hitter to pick something up and let the rest know and say, hey, maybe we can pick up a slider, or, you see this, maybe, let's see it strike to strike instead of strike to ball, and hitters start talking right away. That's to me, the biggest difference from the big leagues to AAA. Guys start talking a little bit more. There's more technology, and all it takes is one guy to pick him apart and be like, okay, the book is out on him and we know what to do. So far it hasn't happened. Obviously he hasn't had a TV game like he's about to today, but I always say it, the game of baseball is all about making adjustments from start to start for you hitters from at bat to at bat. So it's just, I like his slider. I really do. I mean, it's sharp. Again, some hitters might lay off of it and see him a few times and kind of see what he's got. You might see him maybe dominate first time through the lineup, and then hitters will start getting comfortable, start picking up some stuff, and he has to make adjustments as he goes on.
What will you be watching for in particular, Ricky, with that first inning, the first couple of batters from Manoah? What will you be watching for? Because we're asking people what to expect from him. Look, it's a 7-inning game. To me, 5 innings, have the lead, have good control. I'm not going to look at the hits or strikeouts. Just don't walk anybody or have good control. Look like you belong. I'm happy with that. I don't know how you would be, but I'd be happy with that for my first start.
Yeah, I'm looking the same. I mean, is he going to throw strikes? Is he going to come and attack guys? Two strike pitches. Is he going to try and put guys away without overthrowing? And that's inevitable. It's going to happen. I feel like when you get two strikes on a guy, your debut, you're trying to punch him out. You're trying to throw that slider as hard as you can. To me, it's how he's going to control his emotions out there and the mound presence that he's going to have. Because, as you mentioned earlier, Yankee Stadium is just a completely different beast. And for some reason, those Yankee teams always are patient. They'll wait you out. They'll make sure that pitch count is high. And, they don't care who you are. So I'm curious to see how he's going to react to that. If guys – start laying off two strike pitches and he's not able to put guys away, how is he going to react to that? Because to this point, he has completely dominated. So, again, Yankee Stadium, that lineup is just completely different once you step foot there. I mean, is he going to get caught up in, looking up and seeing, the fans and all that stuff? So I'm just looking forward to seeing his mound presence and how he attacks guys and the sequences he uses. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Ricky, really good of you to join us, man. Thanks so much. Stay safe. We'll do this again.
Thanks, Ricky.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Take care. It's Ricky Romero, Blue Jay Central analyst on Sportsnet. You're probably asking yourself, if you're not, you should be. Say, Jeff, how many guys have made their major league debut at Yankee Stadium? How many visiting pitchers? Never mind the Yankees. I know you're going to be a smart ass. You're going to say, well, there's a lot of Yankees. No, I'm talking about, come on, give your head a shake. Talking about how many guys have made their major league debut in the Bronx against the New York Yankees. Well, I have the answer. I will give it to you next, and we'll go back to the text line, 590-590. What are your thoughts? What are your expectations for Alek Manoah in this particular game? We are, less than half an hour away from first pitch. Alek Manoah against the Yankees. First of two right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, this is Baseball Central.
Well, I just had to check to make sure, Kevin Barker. I want our listeners to know that the Leafs are still playing tonight. There was some talk that they might cancel their game because Alek Manoah was starting,
right.
But that will.
I had heard that.
I mean, I don't want to overplay this, but this is probably the most significant day of my life, not including the birth of my daughter, getting to see Alek Manoah pitch. You're asking yourself, Jeff, one, why are you such a jackass? Then we don't have enough hours in the day to explain that. But you're asking yourself, I know, Jeff, how many guys have made their major league debut at Yankee Stadium? Yeah, not talking Yankees pitchers. Well, Jason Zillo of the Yankees has come through. So here we go. Manoah is going to be the first opposing pitcher to make his major league debut at Yankee Stadium in a start. Eh? In a start.
Ooh.
Since Blake Snell on April 23rd, 2016. He is only the sixth pitcher to do so since the current Yankee Stadium opened in 2009, joining Henry Owens of the Red Sox, Eric Johnson of the White Sox, Will Smith of the Royals, and Garrett Richards, then with the Angels, in 2011. Mr. Barker, would you like to know how those young pitchers have done in their major league debuts as starters at Yankee Stadium?
I could guess, but I'd love for you to tell us.
0-4 with an ERA of 666, like the number of the devil, 666. 24 and a third innings pitched, 18 earned runs.
Hmm.
Would you like to know the Yankees' record in those games?
Let me hear it.
5-0.
Wow.
Since 2009. So there you go. There you go. That's all that Alek Manoah. Now, I would suggest that Alek Manoah is probably facing a poopier Yankees lineup.
Here, here.
Than most of those other folks have done.
At least it is now.
It is now. If you're wondering the Yankees lineup, LeMahieu, Odor, Judge, Torres, Ford, Frazier, Andujar, Gardner, and Higashioka. And Domingo Herman is on the mound for the Yankees. Mm. Great conversation with Ricky Rowe in the last segment, Kevin. He made an interesting point about what he will be looking at when Alek Manoah makes this start. And again, it is a doubleheader. So seven innings. Manoah's the first game. Robbie Ray's the next game. Robbie Ray, we haven't even talked. Poor Robbie Ray. We haven't mentioned a word about Robbie Ray for the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't care.
Yeah, he probably doesn't give a rat's ass. He's probably busy getting ready to watch.
I would assume he's lifting right now so he can jump up and down and get in his pants and his nice little jersey top.
We may have started the process of getting in his pants right now. You know, they may have him hanging up someplace and he's jumping into them. You know, it's like those commercials for tight jeans, you know, where you lie down on the ground and you pull them up. And then I, of course, never had that problem.
That's how I judge if he's going to be any good or not. The tighter that uniform is, the better I know he's going to be.
Anyhow. Somehow you got me off track, which is I admit.
That's not hard.
We'll go back to the text line. I swear to God, we'll go back to the text line. 590, 590. What are your expectations for Alek Manoah? Ricky Rowe made a great point, though, about the secondary stuff. Talk to me a little bit about that, because we know Alek Manoah has got the fastball. What should our expectations be as to the effectiveness and the sharpness of those secondary
things? Yeah, I have no idea to that question. That's a very hard question to answer. I will say this, and I'm going to ask you the question. Why do you think Alek Manoah made it to the big leagues?
Because, really? Well, there's a combination of panic, not Joe, and it's a combination of Nate Pearson's not ready, Thomas Hatch isn't ready, and honestly, I think...
Him as a pitcher...
His ability to control the strike zone, I would say.
I would think it's power.
He has a really good fastball. He's a giant presence on the mound, and the secondary pitches, what he does with those are pluses. That's for me. When Ricky was saying that, I was going, you're doing me a favor by starting me out with a get-me-over slider or a fading-away changeup. When you can attack people with an elevated heater and has some sink to that, and you throw it with conviction and confidence, and that's for me why you're making it to the big leagues. You have to establish your best stuff for me. At least you establish your best pitch first, and then all of those other things, because you've done that, will take care of themselves. That's what I'm going to be looking for. Do that first.
We did not get a name. Please give us your name and location when you send texts at 590-590. But I got to read this. It just says Barker might have a point. Maybe Robbie Ray is trying to use his uniform as a compression sleeve instead of wearing compression sleeves. I'm sorry.
That's a great point
there. Several people want to know how many of those pitchers making their debut did you play winter ball with? That's still a thing.
That's a great question. I would have to go back and do some digging into that. Or I'll let you do it. Since you were the one that said them out loud, I will let you go back and write down each one of their names and see where they played winter ball, if they did. And probably if they played winter ball, I'm sure I did play with them.
Justin from Kitchener thinks our friend Alec Manoah is going to channel his excitement and simply dominate. He thinks this turned out to be a perfect storm for him. Doubleheader, seven-inning game with the less-than-normal Yankee lineup. Like this is, you know, I think... I mean, Justin may be on to something there. It, of course, we won't know until the game starts. But the extra day, see, here's what would concern me. Not so much, Kevin, is he going to be jacked up because it's Yankee Stadium and his major league start. I would be more concerned about the extra day. Huh. Is he sharp given the extra day?
I'll say this. He only had 35 innings in the minor leagues. He is not far removed from pitching every Friday in college. He's used to the extra day of rest.
All right.
That's what I would assume.
Explain to people about the Friday night pitcher.
He in college would pitch every Friday. That's like the primetime game in college. You want your best guy going that day, and that's the day he would pitch, right? That's every 7 days, right? He would have 6 days of rest in between each start, and that's when he would make his start. Now, again, this is the routine thing, and this is what they were trying to get him into, is trying to find him whatever routine that was, how many bullpens he throws, how many laps he runs, you know, his throwing program between starts, all of these things they're trying to work in to try and figure out how to get him a five-day starter, that kind of thing. But he's not far removed from that part of it. He's look, Jeff, he's so young, he doesn't know any better. And for me, I got to be honest with you, he's playing with a little bit of house money. He truly is. The 35-inning thing is really, if you're him and you're coming into this and going, he sees the same stats we're seeing, and he's thinking to himself, you know what? If I locate my heater, I got a chance today. Forget about my slider and my changeup. Those are plus pitches. If I locate my heater, I got a halfway decent chance of not going seven. That's probably not realistic, but I could give him five really good, determined, confident, convictioned innings, and I can build off that, right? That's the ultimate thing. The old saying is, Jeff, it's not hard getting to the big leagues. It's hard staying in the big leagues.
How does Charlie play this then? Because you got a doubleheader, 2 7-inning games. You got you got a stud going in the second game in Robbie Ray.
Uh-huh.
So you got to think your bullpen is rested.
Yeah.
Do you let Alec Manoah work out of trouble? How would you approach this? I'm not saying the first time if he gets two men on base, you get the bullpen up. I'm not saying that. But we know that the decision here is going to be some sort of combination of analytics and what Pete and Charlie are seeing on the mound, right? So it's going to be some combination of that. How do you think Charlie plays it? Like, do you go into it thinking, I'm going to let this guy give me five, and unless it's a complete and utter crap show, he's going to give me five.
Okay,
and then I'll go to my bullpen.
With the day off yesterday, if you give him four innings, Whoever you want to pitch the fifth could be Jordan Romano. Whoever you want to pitch the sixth could be Tyler Chatwood. If you want to pitch the seventh, that's Rafael Dolis. That's what the guy pitching in the sixth, in the second game with the what is the six starts with the 49 punch outs and the one walk. That's what he's giving you. Cause you, I'm not saying that's almost a guarantee that he's going to give you a really good start, but it's close to that. You got to figure he's figured something out that he can make an in-game adjustment enough to locate that heater enough to make the slider and the curveball that much better that if I need to, he gives me four and I have the lead and I can run out my three best arms, and then I got the guy going in the second game who could give me at least probably six innings, and then I can throw
also
whoever
win the series too, and
there you go.
And let's be clear, this is going to be, it's going to be a four team race, and I understand it's early and you're not looking at the standings and I'm not looking at the standings, but if I get a chance to win a series, I'm going to win a series.
Yeah, and again,
I'm going to win a series.
If this team's going anywhere, we can say it any way we want to say it. But if this team's going anywhere, obviously it has to have halfway decent starting pitching. But Marcus Semien, Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Teoscar Hernandez, Randall Grichuk all have to be the guys that they've been so far. And if they score early, you know, well, say Marcus Semien gets a little bloop to right field, and then Bo comes up and backleg city something to right field, it's 2-0. All of a sudden, you got a kid walking to the mound with the lead. Now he can get out there and do the thing he ultimately needs to do. So it's, you know, all those things sort of work together. And if you're Charlie, right, occasionally you have to use your gut and your eyes to tell you, you know.
Put the binder away, Chuck.
It'll never happen because obviously he would much rather be flipping the binder in the big leagues than
he wants to be employed, and he'd rather be using his
gut in the minor leagues. So
I don't blame him. Charlie wants to be employed. He's going to go by what the binder and the khakis? The binders and
that's
khakis.
That's it. That's it.
The binders and the khaki guys go by. Mr. Barker, this has been a lot of fun. First pitch is at 4:05. A reminder that Sho Ali and Josh Goldberg will carry you through this game. Sho will be hosting. Josh and Sho will be on between games. So 4 or 5 start. I think the second game is a 7:07 start. You know, if things work out the way they're planned. So they'll take you through that. They will have Blue Jays talk at the end of the game as well. And there's a rumor that Kevin Barker will be on Blue Jays talk as well. We'll be back tomorrow to break down Alec Manoah's, are you ready for this call, Bark? To break down Alec Manoah's 5 innings of 3-hit pitching with 4 Ks, 1 walk.
There you go.
4 Ks and 1 walk.
Yeah.
Jays are going to win. They're going to sweep the series. There you go. I think it's 390 is the you can get right now on Jays sweep series. That's it for us.